Welcome, everyone, to the Blessings of Christ on this day that I think is gorgeous almost everywhere across the United States. We don't get many of those. And I am certainly glad to have some warm weather up here because the Arctic temperatures were shocking, to put it that way, coming from the South Coast. But I want to welcome everybody today because we're not here to talk about the weather. We're here to talk about the climate in our heart and our relationship to God and our love from Yeshua. We're here joined in the Spirit of Christ to celebrate the blessings we have and the blessings that we hope to receive, to strengthen one another in our spirit of faith, because it is through faith that we become the vision we see for our life. And that's something I want to talk about a little bit more today, but not right now. First of all, I just want to welcome everyone. And if any of you are new, I don't see any new names right now, but then most of our new callers still don't have a name attached to their numbers. So it looks like we've got our strong and faithful community here for the time being, but everybody is always welcome. And we know that as we take in the blessings of Christ, we radiate them out to the world, to those who would not even know or think to reach. So we're glad to have that blessing, that extra blessing, and that privilege. Well, we have Nancy with us again today. Thank you so much for coming, Nancy.
I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, I am actually on my desktop, which is the first time in a long time I've actually been on my desktop. So it feels like coming home. I'm going to write all of you a really nice email this week and bring you up to date on what's going on. And for those of you who've just been waiting to put your new order for Christ-Scent oil in, well, we're open as of tomorrow. So, I'm writing Tim today and haven't heard back, but he's usually on duty every day and it won't take much effort to just click the on button. So, we are back on for you in all levels of service. And I've really, really, truly missed, that connection and being able to serve you in all of those ways. I believe, and I'm saying this in faith, I believe we will be able to offer everything except 4G clays for about a month because it's traumatic to my G clay printer to move it even 3 inches. So it has to be worked on, cleaned, recalibrated, and brought up to performance. And that might take another month. But we do have, I think we've got all of the prints, except the prints of Yeshua, are all printed on the G-Clay printer now, which is why they're so wonderful. And people write back and say, oh, this is great. I didn't expect it to be this good. Well, there's a reason why it's that good. And we're going to get back. Okay, we would love to hear from you. So call in, let us hear from you. Say hello, I'm here, welcome back, or whatever. We just are so happy to be with you. And the way you ask for your blessings is *6 and then 1, and that puts you in the queue so we can bring up your request and put you online. Jerome, I'm so glad to see your name in the queue, and welcome.
Welcome, welcome. This is Jerome up in Minnesota. We had an inch of snow, but now we've got the sun in 35 degrees. but the light of God is just helping our snow go down now.
Oh, yeah. And 35 degrees for you is like tropical, isn't it?
Yes, it is like tropical, but I'm sure it's tropical with you, too. But I just send you God and Holy Spirit, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph with your light, compassion, and love, peace, and joy of the universe and connection with everything of the universe of love, light, compassion, love, peace, and joy.
Oh, thanks so much, Jerome. And do you have a blessing request?
Yes, a blessing request is for my family, and especially for my wife who's down with our daughter in Florida, but now they're going to come home tomorrow, so we'll get everybody back in the family, but a prayer request for my family. But my prayer request is also for you, too, because you are God's light, compassion, love, peace, and joy, and Jesus helping us all. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Jerome. And it's really great to be back. Well, I was always with you in spirit and even in technology to a limited degree. But it's good to be back, like walking in the door to home. You know, there's nothing quite like that.
Yes, that's right. You're right. But nothing quite like you either. Please keep up your work because you're the universe of God's light, compassion, love, peace, and joy.
You're so welcome.
Okay.
Well, bye-bye for now. And
thank you.
I see Elizabeth is here. Hello, Elizabeth, and you're on.
Oh, hi, Glenda. It's great that you're moving forward. I'm so happy to hear that, that things are starting to fall into place for you and you're on your board finally, or you're feeling more at home. I've just got a few prayer requests. The first one is for a woman called Marcia, who's a friend of my sister's mother up in Vermont, somewhere near Vermont, and she's just had to have all her toes amputated, and now part of one leg has to be amputated. She's doing well. It's all to do with circulation and, I presume, diabetes. So if we could just put Marcia on the call, that she handles this amputation well and everything will go well for her. Second request is for my family in Australia, especially for my niece, Jessica, who just had a little baby, Addison, and Jessica's had a little bit of a, not a breakdown, but she's in hospital and not doing so well. So if we could put Jessica and Addison and her parents, my brother Hugh and his wife Carolyn, who are having to move, and they've just had these enormous floods in Australia, and it's all just, it's all very difficult for them right now.
I know about that. So I have been offering blessings to people in that.
At least the rain has stopped. It's moved out to sea, so now they're mopping up. But it was, you know, of biblical proportions, the rain they were having. And they've had it since November. It's been raining in Australia since November. And 2 years ago this time, the whole country was on fire, if you remember, in 2019-20. It's just amazing that 2 years it's fire and 2 years later it's flooding. It's quite amazing. Anyway, and the last, I would ask just for a blessing for me. I'm integrating different energies, and I've been just a little bit dizzy and wobbly because I think there's a lot of energy coming onto the planet with solar flares and different things. This is when we need Tony, who's got all the celestial stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We miss Tony and all his knowledge about the heavens and what was going on and stars and things. I really do miss Tony's information, but I know there's a lot of stuff going on, and I'm just feeling a bit wobbly. If Yeshua could just bless me to be totally strong and balanced in my body, I'd be most grateful. And thank you so much, Glenda, for being
there. I've got your request down, and yes, you know, your request reflects what a lot of people are going through. It is a very, very uncertain world, moving into high velocity change, big time change.
Yes.
The last time I remember change of this proportion is when I went through a hurricane in 2017.
Yes.
And I feel like my life has been in a hurricane now for about 2 years, not with magnetic winds, but with the winds of change. And one of the things I have actually learned finally in settling down, I've been through so much change, and it hasn't all been pleasant. It's been losing a partner. It's been almost losing a home. It's almost losing everything, uprooting my life. So it hasn't been pleasant.
No.
But as I come through the settling of it all, I'm finding that there's joy breaking out. And it's rather interesting because I'm having an opportunity to assign new priorities to everything. And it's becoming easy to let go of things I would never have thought of letting go before. It's easy to embrace new things I would never have thought about putting my arms around. And I'm finding that I'm actually seeing things in people that I could never, ever see before. And I think I'm going to actually take the time right now. I mean, it'll only be about 2 minutes, so don't feel I'm going on and on, everybody, but I'll cut it quite short. It could almost fill a seminar with the actual meaning of what I'm about to tell you. When I moved to Aranda's Pass in 2013, a lot of years ago, I didn't have any help because Larry couldn't lift a thing, and I had to reach out to get help. And our realtor that had facilitated the purchase said, "I know just a man to help you. He's very, very strong. He can do anything. I just have to warn you, he may be a little bit compromised in the attic. He's kind of slow, and sometimes he doesn't finish things, and sometimes he doesn't hear everything you say. He's a good person. You can trust him." Well, okay, I operated on that premise, respecting him in that capacity, and I noticed that his work was better than I had been told it would be. I found out he was smarter than I was told he would be. And he became my handyman over the next, 9 years that I was in Aranda's Pass. He was my number one guy to call to do work. And he was in great appreciation of me because he really appreciated what I did and what I was called to do. And I thought, you know, this man is a lot more aware, a lot smarter, a lot more capable than I was presented to be. Well, I had a lot of respect. And I'll just say his first name because it's a very common name. His name's John. And I thought, you know, John's a really special person. Well, it all began to change my perception of John right before the move, because I called John and I said, "John, you got to help me pack up. You're the only one I would trust." And he always called me, "Yes, ma'am." And would kind of clap his heels. He was charming. And he said, "Well, I learned how to work very hard because I was a Navy SEAL." Mm. And I went, "Huh? You were a Navy SEAL?" I wasn't, but I didn't say this to him. I thought, I wasn't told that about him. And then during the time he was packing up for me, he had a buddy who had, well, actually it was a commanding officer that had passed away. And John was called to be, to serve at the funeral. It was a military funeral. And John showed up with some of the people that had been under his command. I didn't even know he was military. Well, John showed up with more medals on his jacket than you could decorate a Christmas tree with. And I said, "John, I didn't know this about you. Nobody told me about this. I said, I discovered on my own that you were a very smart man and you were very capable. And he said, well, ma'am, I don't brag on my life because I find I can get along with more people just being humble. And wow, this is a very special man. And then as we were packing, somebody came over. And for some reason, he was speaking French. And John began speaking fluent French to him. I knew he was German, so but I said, John, did you spend some time in France? Well, I spent 4 years in Paris at the Sorbonne. And I said, you went to the Sorbonne? He said, yeah. He said, my family had money, and they sent me to college at the Sorbonne. And I said, what did you study? He said, I studied naval engineering. He said, that's what qualified me for the Navy SEAL. And I went, holy cow.
Amazing.
I'll end my story right now, but I just want to tell you that I wouldn't have discovered these things had I not taken, John was the one I called to get me through the crisis, to get me through the confusion. And then John said, ma'am, I will come up to Fort Worth and move you in because I know how you live and I know what's important to you and I can do what nobody else could do for you. And he said, I won't charge you my travel expenses, just normally what I do to work for you. I said, thank you, John. I am so, so grateful. But you see, the reason for my story and the reason for taking this time with you is sometimes we don't know what the package is in which a treasure is buried. Sometimes we don't know what's inside a person until they choose to reveal themselves. Probably everybody in my life knew I was a talented artist, but probably nobody knew what was inside of me with regard to Yeshua because they knew about my issues with church-level Christianity. I was proud of my heritage, but I didn't really want to live inside a box. And they probably were quite surprised when I came out of that box. And then what happens with my life? You see, you never know what treasure may be inside a box. And it may be a very humble box, like a Cracker Barrel. You don't know. And I have noticed that going through some of this chaos, some of this confusion, some of the trauma and the hardship has turned these barrels upside down. And we're seeing greatness emerge from it. I'm seeing greatness emerge in my circle of friends. I'm seeing greatness emerge in young people that, you know, I would not have expected before. I think that our millennial generation is probably the smartest generation to come along in a very long time. But I was a little worried about them because they lived their life on social media. And I didn't know, really, how they were going to get along with people. I'm talking about real people, you know, face-to-face, embracing, caring, loving, showing up. And I'm just finding some miraculous revelations that make me so proud. And this is what happens sometimes in cataclysmic events. It draws the best out of people. And they come forth, and you see in people, things you would not have expected. You know, God presents a challenge to us sometimes in order to bring forth greatness. And you wonder, why could the apostles who knew Yeshua as brothers and sisters, why could they go through so much pain sprinkled in between, of course, many moments of glorious leadership. But if you read the book of Acts, and other books in the New Testament, James and Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. You read on and you learn. And you look at it, you can see there were lots of ups and downs. They weren't solid on their feet. And I'm speaking to Elizabeth here because, you know, as we go through life and lots of things are being shaken up, we're not solid on our feet. And I can't tell you how many times I haven't been solid on my feet. But the challenge actually causes us to stop hanging onto the rails. You know, like you're on a ship and the ship is shaking, it's rocking, you hang on to the rails. And sometimes you lean over the rails and you get rid of your dinner. But when you finally get your strength, that's when you have sea legs. That's when you're standing on your own feet. And I have noticed that God uses challenges to perfect our greatness. And the challenges went through perfected their greatness. You can see it progress. And not to exclude the very Son of God, whose glory had walked upon the earth. But nothing was to compare to the greatness that would be unfurled by the resurrection. And the pain, and the forgiveness inside the pain. So, instead of resisting and tormenting yourself with the challenges, try to stride into them and find your greatness within. I think it really starts with three important things. The most important things I can say from my own life. What is the vision you cast out? It's like you're a fisherman. And Jesus said, I will teach you to be fishermen of men. Well, it's like you're fly fishing and you're going to cast that fly out. Well, that's your vision. You've got to have the vision. You've got to see what's on the other side. If you don't have a vision, you have no line to follow. And it doesn't mean that you're going to see everything from inside yourself. I can't tell you how many times I looked inside me and it was all dark and black. Just dark and black. But the one who's always there with us inside of dark and black is our Heavenly Father. He's everywhere. And you can always find His love inside of dark and black. But you wake up in the morning and you cast that line out again. It's like, okay, this is where I'm going. This is what I'm looking for. Then what it takes is faith to follow that line. That's the second most important thing. And then you're going to have obstacles along the way. You will have setbacks. You just will. That's life. We all do. Joshua did. And sometimes he'd get away from it by going out to the desert. He just had to do the big chill, you know? You're going to have those obstacles. So in comes the third most important thing. That's forgiveness. Just forgive it. Forgive it because it's there to make you strong. It's there to challenge your vision. Like to say, well, is that really what you want? Are you willing to work for it? Are you willing to make a sacrifice for it? Are you willing to hold on to it? And you say yes. And then it challenges again, and that's for your faith. Well, how much do you believe in it? Yeah. And you just say, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. See, all these challenges are coming against your faith. They're coming against the light you see. The vision you cast out is always cast in your light. It's always cast in your light. You couldn't see except for light. So there is light within you. And even if you can't see it looking in, you can cast it out as a vision. And then go follow your vision. Okay, well, Elizabeth, I guess that kind of summarizes the response you stimulated in me. And
thank you so much, Glenda. That was fabulous. Thank you. That was fabulous, wonderful. Thank you so much.
You are very, very welcome. And we see, oh, Carolyn's been on the line for a while. So, Carolyn, you are on.
Hi, Glenda.
Hi. I'm so glad you found a place to be and that it's in on Glastonbury Street.
I just take it as a tongue-in-cheek joke.
Well, I do have a blessing to ask you, but one of the things that I wanted to do, and I'm sure you have tons of pictures and you probably have too much stuff already, but when you mentioned the Glastonbury story, I have on my wall an etching of Glastonbury from a travel book from 1780 or something like that. And I I would love to give it to you if it's something that you would like.
Oh, I would hold it as a treasure. I really would, because it comes from you and from our community and from the story I told and the guidance I was given coming here.
That would be wonderful.
And I
wonderful.
Hope it's and sense of humor that, of course, this is the way Texans would spell Glastonbury, but...
That would be wonderful. And what I love about it, I have it in a frame, and you can even see a little bit of bookworm, which I like. And I would just need to know where to send it to. It's been on my wall, and I just thought, well, you know, maybe you should be looking at Glastonbury rather than me.
Okay. I've got the perfect place in my office, and it will be looking right back at Yeshua. His portrait is in my office now, right over my head. And he's going to be watching everything I say and write.
Wow. That really sent something into my heart when you said that. Oh, my God. So I just need to know where to send it. And I did send an email, but I wasn't sure if I had that.
For anybody else that needs to know, I believe Tim has posted that on our website now, because it's the only address I have. I do not have a post office box at the moment, and I may not choose to if the neighborhood is safe, and I think it is. I think it's extremely safe. But for now, it is, and it's 3704 Glastonbury, and that's GlastonBerry. So if you want to have a berry drink, it's Glastonbury. Put it in a glass.
Glastonbury Street?
Just Glastonbury. It doesn't have a street or anything. That's
and
Texas
that's Fort
for
Worth?
You. Fort Worth,
Fort
Texas.
Worth.
Yes. 76244.
76244. And what's the best email and what's the best website? Because there are a number of websites. Is it the Spiritus website? Maybe that would be good for everybody
to
know the best website.
All of our email addresses are online except for mine. And I only give mine to our community because I just couldn't.
Right.
I couldn't take all the emails that would come in to me. But my email is just Glenda Green, just my name, straight, no numbers or underscores or anything, because I was one of the first to get a Gmail address. So it's just glendagreen@gmail.com.
Great. Okay. And which is the best website where all of the stuff is? Spiritus?
Our store is inspiredorigination.com.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well,
website, and we have our blessing, Our blessing website is called blessing.com. And our church website is spiritus.com.
Spiritus.
Mm-hmm.
With an I. Spiritus.com. That's
yes, with an I. As in
blessing
spirit
website.
Is. Yes.
Yeah. And that's the Church and Blessing website, spiritus.com.
Spiritus.com is the church website. If you want to find out about the church.
Right.
Christ's Blessing is where all the recorded blessings are housed. So if you want to go back and listen to previous recordings, or find out more about what's happening with the blessing group or the blessing givers, you go to ChristBlessing.com.
Great. Okay, well, I think that's probably useful for a lot of people, especially if they're new on the
line. Yeah, you know, you reminded me, Carolyn, I need to put all of this in my next email just to bring everybody up to date.
Yeah, and I'm in Hawaii right now, and for us, it's actually an hour earlier. It's not 11 o'clock. It's 10 o'clock for us to come to the blessing today.
Okay.
I just want to let everybody know about that. We don't change the hours here. Sometimes I'm in California, but a lot of the time I'm in Hawaii.
Okay.
So I
wanted to ask you. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, Arizona, too, doesn't change, I think.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Arizona does not celebrate. You know, I'll give you a reason. Arizona has a very, very high population of Native Americans. And they think that man should not mess with nature's clock. They prohibit.
That's a great story. I didn't know that. Wow.
I have a feeling that the Native Hawaiians probably had the same idea.
Maybe that's it. Yeah. So finally, Glenda, I'd just like to ask for a brief blessing for me because I may be doing some testing. I've had breast cancer twice. I have the BRCA gene, and I'm going to be doing some testing probably in a week or so, and I just wanted to make sure that everything comes out fine and that my health is good, so that
you've got
cancer doesn't return.
You're on my list. Okay.
Thank you
dear.
So much. And I look forward to sending, that is so wonderful. I look forward to sending you the picture.
Whenever it's convenient for you. Thank you so much.
Great. Okay.
Okay
then.
Thank you. Sarah, you are on.
Aloha, Glenda. This is Sarah sending love to you and to our beloved community. And I want to ask for a special blessing today for my beloved mom, Kathleen. She was admitted to the hospital, and it may have been a stroke. We're waiting to hear. So a blessing for her and for all who are needing that healing. And I'm going to kind of drop everything and fly there to Massachusetts tomorrow. So also I ask for a blessing for me and my students, that I can still teach from there, and that we can all be supported through that. And a blessing for my home when I'm away. My beloved friend Soma lives here with me, and it's just, there's no hot water. There's some water issues. And so just a blessing for those repairs and that she's safe and sound and taking care of everything here.
Right. Okay. You got it. It's all on my list. And in my heart.
No, thank you.
Okay. Well, be well and be blessed. Christopher,
okay.
You are on.
Hi, and everybody.
Hello.
Glenda, it's so awesome to hear that you, I mean, it's almost crazy to think about that last week you were in a hotel room with four cats, and now you have your home and you have your office and you're set up enough to be on this call right now. It's
amazing?
Really joyful feeling. Thank you God. Yeah, it's very amazing. And what you shared just now with Elizabeth about letting the challenges bring out our greatness, and the idea of putting your vision out and following your vision, even if you can't see it within yourself, you can project it out and then follow it. I just, right. I'm really touched by what you said, and I just wanted to acknowledge it, and just like it touched my heart so much, it brought tears to hear you speak, not just what you said, but the state that you're in through the challenges that you've been through. I'm just really grateful to witness your journey and thankful to God for blessing you.
Thank you. I am thankful to God also every day of my life. And, you know, every day of my life brings more miracles. They're all around you, everybody. You just look for them. They're all around you. And the more we are grateful for our miracles, the more miracles you get.
Mm. Yes. Like everything. And speaking of which, I wanted to, one of the reasons I called in or that I thought of while I was on waiting to come on the board is just that one of my very best friends in the world who I went to college with, lived with in college, I've known him for 25 years, had surgery this last week, and it was kind of miraculous that he started feeling better within a couple days. I just wanted to say deep gratitude and celebration. Thank you to Yeshua for helping him. And for just a continued blessing for his healing. His name's Jason. And, for his whole family, his wife, his two kids, his team at work. I think he was really feeling a lot of anxiety about going through this with all the responsibilities that he has.
Sure.
Just continued
it's
blessing
only natural.
For him.
Yeah.
And just
yeah.
so grateful
okay.
that he's feeling better. And I wondered if you could say one, this might be too in-depth, but I've been thinking about it a lot. We're coming up on Easter, and so I was so grateful that you mentioned Easter. And I thought a lot about, you know, there's a lot of theological ideas about the crucifixion, and I've been thinking, well, what does the crucifixion say to me about life? Why did Jesus do that? Why did God put him through that? Why? And I think about the prophets, the lineage of prophets that he came through and how they exhibited things that revealed and exposed things, oppressions and hierarchies. And I just wonder if Yeshua ever talked to you about the crucifixion itself and, or if you have some thoughts on what.
Yes, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that when we get right before Easter.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd love to hear your perspectives on that.
I give it every year, and I just hope nobody ever gets tired of hearing the same story. It's a wonderful, wonderful story, at least in my opinion.
Okay, well, I look forward to it.
Okay. All right, Christopher, well, thank you for coming on the board and sharing your life with us, and I'm so happy about your friend's overcoming of trauma and fear. And
yeah.
So, such a blessing.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyone else? It looks like our queue is empty. So, while we wait for anyone else to come on the line, Nancy, how about you or Gary? Starting a conversation.
Well, oh, sure. I'd love a blessing for my Aunt Audrey. She's going to be turning 93 soon, and we're going to visit her next week. So we're really excited about that. And a sister-in-law that's turning 70, so we're having a little family reunion of sorts. And it's the Freeborg gang, so they're a lot of fun, and there's a lot of music, and there's usually never any stress or trauma like there is on my side.
Uh-huh.
So it's really nice. So yes, I'd love a little blessing for that. But I also want to echo what Christopher was saying and what you were saying to Elizabeth, how beautiful. I just keep thinking of what Yeshua told you about, you know, about the conflicts in life and the conflicting experiences to build faith and consciousness. And that always helps me when I'm going through something challenging to say, this is building my faith. This is building my consciousness. And, you know, I love it that was so erudite and, you know, to the point in the book where he says that. And just wanted to offer that to everybody because it's been a blessing for me to always remember that when we're going through something. You know, that's not always the shortest route. And I feel that God can work with anything and bring it to good. And nothing's lost, you know. So thanks for that.
Yeah, well, you can thank our Heavenly Father for that. But, you know, it is the way of life, is that we're not here to sit around and be bored. And sometimes sometimes we are excited with joy. Sometimes we're excited with challenge. But the challenge actually brings us up to a higher level than we ever thought we could be. And that's what God wants to see in us. Continually coming up to higher and better than we ever thought we could be.
That's really true. Yeah, we don't go back to the original path, but I read once, it brings us to a level of perfection, one octave higher on the spiral of creative unfoldment. And I think that's really true.
Oh, it's very true. You can look at the lives of any truly, truly great person and see that it's true. And, you know, there's something along those lines that I can make a whole seminar out of, so I've got to be very careful to keep it short, super short. People come to me all the time in so many seminars and just life situations, and they'll say, you know, Glenda, I'm really, really having a problem finding my purpose in life. It's a big deal for lots of people. And what Yeshua has taught me to say is that one of the largest confusions people have about purpose is they confuse it with success. People confuse success with the fulfillment of purpose, and they're not the same thing, not at all. Success is basically what you do for yourself, and I don't mean in a self-serving self. It just could be like you really, really want to finish college, get that degree that you did for yourself because it sets you up for a better chance in the professional world. You want to go out and get a certain job and get that experience under your belt. It's a good thing to do, and I'm not derogating against that at all. But you see what happens when you're pursuing success is every time you accomplish it, you have a letdown because that's all it was. You were pursuing success. This is what happens to people who get a lot of money, and they want to, They want to make a million. They make it, and it's like, well, gee, that wasn't as good as I thought it would be. Well, success doesn't bring you that fulfillment. And that's why people get back to, well, what's my purpose then? Well, according to Yeshua, the difference is purpose is what you do for others. Success is what you do for yourself. Okay? You go fishing to get dinner for yourself and the family. Or you go fishing to get food for the community. If you go fishing to get food for the community, that's purpose. If you go fishing to get food for the family and your own dinner, that's success. And success always breeds hunger. And on the other side of it, you're going to be hungry again. When you find your purpose, it will have to do with what you do for others. And it's so satisfying. One's act of purposeful living just simply leads you to the next. And you're never really ever hungry. Because there's always some way you can serve others. There's always someone or something that needs you, that needs your love, that needs your care, your intelligence, your ingenuity, or your discovery about them, or your discovery of an answer. When you go through life serving others, you're never hungry. There's always something to do, and you'll find that purpose is not what you thought it was. It's not something you're going to write up on a trophy. And that doesn't mean people won't also give you trophies, but that's just because they love you and they want to give back to you. It's not what you did it for. Okay. I kind of needed to say that, and you gave me a good opportunity, Nancy.
Thank you. Well, we have Nancy Lopez is here.
Oh, yeah. Nancy, you're on.
Hello. It's wonderful to hear you from your home. It's just great.
Oh, thank you.
Linda,
we have a great signal, too.
We do. But do I need to talk a little more softly?
No.
Okay. I wanted to let you know I had a blessing this week, and it feels like a big blessing. And it's about accepting what is and then doing something about it. I have a sister who had a traumatic brain injury in the 70s. She was in a coma for more than a week. She was seriously injured. Mm-hmm. And about 3 years ago, her neurologist indicated that she needed assisted living. But she said she didn't want assisted living and would not do it.
Mm-hmm.
So we waited. And late last week, she called and she said, you know, I think I need assisted living and asked for help to make that happen. She needs help with all kinds of things to make it happen.
Uh-huh.
But she was accepting what is. And now we're working through what she needs to do and what my husband and I need to do and what other people need to do to help her achieve her vision. And she even knows where she would like to go for assisted living. So there is a vision, but she's struggling to try and do her part to make it all happen. But I was just so grateful to hear her say that she accepted her disability and recognized she needs help. So.
Oh, that's great. That's great, Nancy. And thank you for your patience, because you gave her the opportunity to make the choice and cast the vision. That was a great gift you gave her.
Well, it was kind of a gift that she just needed to accept her blessing when it did arrive, and I guess the time is now. Because she has a more clear vision and understanding. And I am so grateful for that. And I would ask for a blessing for all of the activity that will be around achieving her moving into assisted living. And she will be moving to Florida. So,
oh, good.
Yeah. So it sounds wonderful, and her acceptance of what is just a really big thing. So I thank God for that. Yeah, yeah.
And she will be rewarded for it, because when she gives up this resistance, she's going to see it come back to her in renewed energy and in renewed appreciation of life.
Oh, thank goodness. Yeah, that would just be wonderful, Glenda. Thank you so much for that.
You know, everybody, we consume so much energy in what we resist. We really do. And sometimes surrender is the thing to do. And I don't mean surrender in the sense of give up. I mean surrender in the sense of let God do it. And let your family and your friends help you.
Yes, yes, we will help her so that she can achieve this and receive assistance. So that is going to happen. And when you said it doesn't mean give up, I laughed, because sometimes when I say that, but what I mean is give up to a higher power. And so it's fun to say give up in that sense.
Yeah, up with an arrow pointed upward.
Exactly.
I got it. Yeah, that's great. I got it. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
And thank you, everybody.
It's a really, really special one.
It is. It is.
Yeah, it really is. Well, Nancy, I'm going to open the line to someone else now, and thank you. God bless you.
Thank you.
Everything. Hello, Pat. You are on.
Oh, hi there, dear friends. I, too, want to speak to the joy that comes through holding a vision and for one another, the visions that feel so complicated and unachievable at some point. And I think we are experiencing that. I just had something that was very poignant while I was waiting to come on the call with y'all. I flipped through something that the Unity Church group up here in Lafayette, Louisiana right now had sent me this morning. And it was a link into to Cat Stevens' Peace Train song.
Oh.
And so I had had time to listen to that, and it just took my heart to the place, the vision we've held for so long. When did Cat Stevens first sing that song to us? And now he's a gray haired
Peace Train.
Oh, Peace
Train.
Train.
Yeah. I love that song.
Oh, and you'll love how he does it now as a gray headed senior singing that same song to us.
Oh.
And here we are seeing Peace Trains in so many ways. My heart is so connected to the mothers and children on trains, trains, vehicles, walking to leave the Ukraine. And I got the vision that too is a peace train. The disbursement to so many places and the touching of so many hearts. Our vision, it comes in, our fulfillment of these visions we hope come in so many ways that become so poignant as we travel through the experiences. And
yes.
Each one of you has blessed me so much in what you've said today. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Pat. And I want to thank you for your friendship. As I moved through my challenges, it was very, very lovingly appreciated. And I'm so glad you were there.
Thank you. We are all so dear to one another, and that we can show up is such a blessing.
Yes,
thank
we
you.
Can. Thank you. Okay, my dear. Well, it looks like our queue is empty, and maybe that's the way it needs to stay right now, because it's time for our blessing. So let's all just get really comfortable where we are, wherever that is. On a sofa, in your bed, in a chair, sitting on a mat, on the floor. But I do want to say, don't have any crossed arms or legs. And don't be focusing on a particular pose, because it's not something that you're going to be doing from the inside out. Not till after the blessing. After the blessing, you may want to do a very special meditation or a very special pose to integrate what you've received from the blessing. But for now, I want you just to relax and receive. Just be there in a spirit of peace. Shake out your arms, shake out your legs, it's okay even to slump in your chair. You do not have to have a special pose of any kind. The most important thing is to be in a way of simply surrendering and receiving, because a lot of what you're going to receive is something you could never expect. This is why I don't want your mind turned on, because your mind can only work with things that have already been experienced. When you cast a vision, that vision comes from your heart. It comes from your soul. or it comes from the light of God within you. It does not come from your mind. Your mind is a great tool that solves problems, integrates and calibrates, unifies and directs, kind of like a computer. You know, have you ever seen a computer that can originate anything? It has to be programmed into it first. The data has to be fed into it first. The signal has to be put into it first. Well, that's what your mind is like. It's a bigger deal than any computer because it's an incredibly complex, amazing, integrative system of intelligence that could actually touch upon higher intelligence, but it can't generate it. Your higher intelligence comes from your connection with God, your soul, your heart, your spirit. So be in a way that does not engage your mind, which means don't try to think your way through what you're going to receive. Don't try to program what you're going to receive. I'm going to offer my prayer to Yeshua, which is by way of appreciation and invitation, because he says, invite me in. He does not ever cross the boundary of our personal sovereignty. He allows us to have whatever we need to have, whatever we choose to have, whatever predicament we may be in or glory we may be in that we have chosen to be in or fallen into by just not choosing at all. But he respects it because it's our life. And he says, knock, request, invite me in. And so I do. I invite him in for all of us and for the world, for all who would receive his blessings, his love, his amazing healing power. And then the blessing givers and I will stand and conduct the energy of the Holy Spirit, the grace of our Heavenly Father, and the love of Christ. Just for your nourishment, for your well-being, for your uplifting, for your wholeness. Whatever blessing and miracle you're ready to receive and be fulfilled with. While we're doing that, I would ask that you pray for those you love and for that which you wish to receive, because in asking, you direct the blessings of God, which are all around you and in you and given to you constantly. But we fail to ask for them. And therefore, they just float in the air around you and don't become properly targeted. So that's your chance to properly target these blessings. Now, just be quiet. In your chair, take a deep breath. Feel it as the breath of life, for it is. Exhale thoroughly. Feel it as the giving of life, for it is. Again and again, and continue. Yeshua, a brother who showed us what we can be and is what worthy of striving to be. Son of God, who has come to earth to build the immortal, the eternal bridge that each of us may walk over. That we may fly across or walk across at our own pace, but knowing that the connection is there, for creating from a fiber of light and a flood of love our renewed relationship with our Heavenly Father, that we may be in a state of love all of our waking hours and all of our activities in life, that we may see the potential in life around us and in everyone that comes into our life, that we may see the blessing that has been given, even though we might not at first recognize it as such. Help us to take bread and cause it to rise with only our love and our light and our faith. We ask that you be with all of those who are suffering in this world, with the people of Ukraine. Our hearts are open to them. Use our love to help them find peace. For those who are suffering floods, use our love to help them swim and rise above the flood water to rebuild. For those who are building new families, help them find our love, your love above all else, and the love of their Heavenly Father to build a life that will truly fulfill their purpose and their reason for being here on earth. We thank you for all your blessings that surround our life every day. And we thank you for nudging us a little bit to discover them. Now, we just rest here to receive more of what you can offer us today. And we thank you with all our heart, with our life. And we ask that you make us worthy to receive. Worthy with our love, our service, our humility, our joy, and our appreciation of greatness whenever and wherever we see it. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me? Let us begin. Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now it's for you to receive. Just be in silence, be quiet, rest. Lie in bed. The best way. And it doesn't matter if you could sleep, because you will sleep into the blessing. Bye-bye for now. And I look forward to being with you again.